Yes, it's Friday, and I'm giving you a little bonus podcast. Why not? After all, so much is happening today, and there's a couple of stories I just absolutely, positively cannot let rest till Monday. Number one, of course, is the Iranian deal. The president standing in the White House in front of the microphones, and to no one's surprise, he decertified the deal. He didn't tear it up, but he kicked it back at Congress. I thought the statements were strong. I thought he was very presidential. And, well, let's hear a little bit of what he said.
In the event we are not able to reach a solution working with Congress and our allies, then the agreement will be terminated. It is under continuous review, and our participation can be canceled by me as president at any time.
The president is 100% correct. He has the authority, he has the right, and frankly, I'm surprised he didn't do this earlier, but perhaps he was listening to some of his advisors who said, don't jump. Now, today we've also slapped some sanctions on the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Not going to make them happy. They are sponsors of terror all over the world, and we need to cut off their money stream. And we also sent a message to China and North Korea.
As we have seen in North Korea, the longer we ignore a threat, the worse that threat becomes.
I think it was very important for the president to get this out on Friday, to get this out as Kim Jong-un is considering maybe testing another missile, maybe another underground test. I believe that you're showing that America's not weak anymore. America's not going to just roll over and let a rogue nation develop a nuclear program. Before the Iranian deal was signed, I spoke with one of my senators here in Delaware, Senator Chris Coons, and I asked him why did we have to rush and get this done? And he admitted it was a bad deal, but we needed some deal. And I disagreed respectfully. Now I'm very happy the president has done what he's done. And I loved it when he said Iran is not living up to the spirit of the deal. In this little clip, he also indicated something very important. See if you can catch it.
Importantly, Iran is not living up to the spirit of the deal. So today, in recognition of the increasing menace posed by Iran, and after extensive consultations with our allies, I am announcing a new strategy to address the full range of Iran's destructive actions.
Right there, very subtly, the president said, we've been in consultation with our allies. So it's not as if he's totally going this alone. He has been telling our allies, look, this is what I think, this is what we're going to do. So for any of those offendedistas that you're seeing screaming and hollering about this, the president is not going it alone. We just happen to be the most powerful one. So we have to take the lead. There are two stories I absolutely have to get to before I wrap up this crazy week. And I'll get to them, but I want to share something with you. Something fabulous. Something hilarious. And that means it's honest and accurate. It is a supercut from the folks over at the Washington Free Beacon. A supercut explaining how Hillary Clinton dealt with losing the election.
Lean heavily on Chardonnay.
Look, I took a lot of walks in the woods.
Long walks in the woods.
I took long walks in the woods.
Long walks in the woods.
I spent a lot of time cleaning closets.
Organizing my closets, right?
I went into a frenzy of organizing every drawer and closet in my house. And playing with my dogs. I played with our dogs.
And yes, I had my fair share of Chardonnay.
I drank my share of Chardonnay. I mean,
my share of Chardonnay.
And yes, I had my fair share of Chardonnay.
I won't lie, Chardonnay helped a little too.
There were a few other things, but this helped.
That's a great supercut, and I will tweet out a link to it because the video is just as good as well. But that whole montage explains just how studied this woman is. There's nothing real about her, nothing off the cuff, nothing genuine. Everything is focus grouped and tested, and God, I hope she runs in 2020. Stay healthy enough to run again, please, Hillary. Speaking of running in 2020, I really, really, really hope Bernie Sanders runs again for the Democratic nomination in 2020. Why? Because if Bernie Sanders runs, all of those little socialists out there will follow him too. And it will mean that Sanders will suck money out of the Democratic pockets and hamper them in the general election. Sanders is in the news this week because Bernie Sanders, a gentleman, is going to be the keynote speaker, the big address at the Women's Conference on October 27th. It's the first day of a three-day convention in Detroit. So the Women's March people who put together this women's convention in Detroit, apparently they couldn't find a woman to open the convention. It's going to be Bernie Sanders addressing the attendees on their opening night. And guess what? No shock. A lot of the female activists are not happy. Some pretty high-profile names have stepped up to criticize this, too. Deborah Messing, yeah, the Will and Grace lady who's back, she tweeted, "Incredibly disappointed at Women's March. You couldn't find any inspiring, powerful women to give the opening speech? I can give you a long list." I guess they didn't think about calling you. MSNBC's Joy Reid wrote on Twitter, "So, there were no women available to open the women's convention?" Yeah, I guess not. Neera Tanden, yeah, she's part of that resist movement, writing, "Pretty amazing how the Women's March did not find any women for this gig. Unfollowing." Oh, I guess she's giving up the ghost. Joan Walsh, you've seen Joan Walsh all over MSNBC as well. "Might just be me, but I'd have loved to see a woman keynote the women's convention." I have to tell you, it honestly makes sense. After all of the stink was raised, guess what happened? The people behind the Women's March actually reached out to more women. And the one who answered quickest, who will also speak and address the convention that night? Auntie Max. That's right. Maxine Waters will tell her millennials to stay woke. I wish I could be there. And finally, as we wrap up a week, a crazy week, that I think ended on a strong note for the conservatives and for the president. I think the changes made to Obamacare are definitely welcomed and needed, and only the start. I also think what the president did with Iran is to be applauded. But I also think it's time for us to put the foot down on the accelerator and keep pushing to keep draining the swamp. I would love to see some action on term limits in the near future. I would love to see us get a groundswell of support on the left and the right that talks about getting rid of these career politicians, the people who actually are treating themselves like royalty. What do I mean? Well, case in point, there is a pharmacy just a couple blocks from Capitol Hill that hand delivers drugs to Congress virtually every day. It's a perk for the elected officials, and it's not something you and I can get, but they deliver these drugs to the office inside the Capitol building, a carload of pharmaceutical drugs delivered so that lawmakers don't have to do what you and I have to do. They just go out downstairs to the office of the attending physician, where they can either get seen by the healthcare officials there, the Navy doctors, or they can pick up their prescriptions right there without ever having to leave the building. I don't have a problem with the fact that the convenience exists, But why are they getting this special delivery service of their drugs? And why are they having basically a hospital set up in the Capitol building? The Office of the Attending Physician was started in 1928 when three members died in their offices in just a matter of months. So somebody said, we better set up some sort of medical clinic here. And that was the beginning of the Office of the Attending Physicians. Now, it's a $3.7 million budget item. At least that's what we spent last year to staff that office and put in furniture, etc. $3.7 million to have doctors on duty so that the members of the House and Senate can be taken care of. And what do they pay for this? They each pay $611 for their annual membership to that service. Would you pay $611 a year to have a doctor on call all day, every day at your job? Yeah, I sure would. But herein lies the problem. We have people who've been there so long that they are A, making themselves into royalty, and B, they're too damn old. I know, I shouldn't make fun of the old, but this pharmaceutical service, this hand delivering of drugs to the building, the access to care that you and I would never be able to afford for just $611 a year, that's insane. They have made themselves into royalty, elected royalty, and they've rigged the system to where it's harder and harder to get rid of them. It is, in fact, time to drain the swamp. Thank you for all the support this week. Thanks for all the downloads and the traffic. We need to continue growing it. So I appreciate you telling your friends about SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Pass this podcast around and have a great weekend. God bless. Testudo, my friends. Testudo.